Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career. I'm Cindy Gray, and with me in the studio today is Sikutali Oliver Bonga. He is an award-winning theatre practitioner and as local as can be. Originally from the Eastern Cape, he is Bloemfontein-based today. Welcome, Oliver.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oliver, so I read your very impressive bio, and I also Googled you, and I'm not going to pretend that I know what you're doing. So can you please explain to me, what is a theatre practitioner?
A theatre practitioner is someone who practices theatre now. But when practicing, there's about, I think, three aspects to it. It's someone who deals with producing, so the administrative aspect, the logistics, and then someone who also deals with the onstage business, so the creative process, the creative work, be it you are writing, be it you're a designer, an actor, or anything. And then the third one is someone who markets. Now, by marketing, someone who comes with ideas, creates them, and sells them. But within those three levels, there's not a concrete definition, because the job is not a day-to-day, 9-to-5 job. But instead, it's a job that you make yourself. You find you become the employer, or you find the employer, and your work is often seasonal. So maybe in March you get a gig, April, no gig. So then what do you do to compensate for that no gig? So then you create, you take the other position, either you become the producer or the marketer if you cannot be in the creative level. I would like also to add a bit.
Go for it.
In South Africa today, because I'm very young, very when it comes to the industry, but in South Africa today, theatre practitioner is someone that is battling in a war of keeping theatre alive.
I when I was preparing for this, I was wanting to ask you about that, so I'm going to park that question a little bit, because I just want to get my mind around a theatre practitioner again. So would you say that I'm right if I'm saying that you're almost like an entrepreneur? So you design your own work, You produce your own work, and then you perform in your own work. Is that what you say?
Sometimes you perform or someone else performs, but yes, highly.
Right. That is much more than I originally thought. You know, we have this Hollywood vibe picture in our minds that You pitch up, act your heart out, and that's it. But you're telling me, no, you're doing everything.
Yes.
Behind the curtain, on the stage, after the stage.
Before the stage. Even the accounting. You find yourself becoming an accountant because you work with reporting. With all the, if you think, budgeting, applying for budgets, you become an accountant.
As well, yeah, because it costs a lot of money and you need to make a profit or at least break even after you've paid.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Thank you for educating me. So now I want to rewind a little bit. So you hail from the Eastern Cape, and seeing that you've got a creative mind and soul, it's a dark, cold, winter's night in the Eastern Cape. You're around about 10 years old. You're in bed, but you're awake. You're dreaming about your future. How does that look?
It looks like Broadway, you know.
It does.
Looks like Broadway. But in terms of dreaming, I encountered it weirdly from a very early age. I think even less younger than 10.
Okay.
I was a praise poet. I loved poetry
a
lot. So it's someone that performs poetry, but poetry that celebrates either a person, an event, or raises awareness. But the performance is at a heightened state.
Okay.
It's not like rhyme, rhythm.
I think
rhythm.
I've seen that.
Yeah, so it's like just going, yeah.
Full out.
Full out, yeah. Okay. So I did a lot of that. And then when I graduated to grade 9 in the Eastern Cape and Yugi High School, I came across someone from Bloemfontein, funny enough, who said that they studied here and they do theater. And theater in Bloemfontein is perfect. I decided to pursue it just because of that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But it was an easy sell.
It was an easy sell. So you just tell me that theater in a city is perfect. I want to do theater in a city. That's perfect. So I quickly ran. And then when I arrived, I got my fair share of this is not how it works.
Not as perfect. Wait, Oliver. First tell me. So now, how do your friends and your family and especially your parents react when you go to them and say, I want to go and study drama? How did that go?
I had to, fortunately, the person that convinced me to do it was successful highly.
Okay.
So I said that I want to do drama. And of course, the question is, where are you going to work? Where are you going to make money? I said, no, I'm going to teach it. That's going to be my thing. That's how I'm going to make money. Teach drama or teach theater arts while doing other works. And at the time, being the only boy amongst three girls and a single mom, she had no choice. My passion was just... So okay. She was like, I just give the kid what the kid wants. But it was one of the greatest decisions that I think she has made that contributed to me a lot.
It's beautiful. It's interesting that you early on decided that you want to teach arts. Sometimes it feels to me that that is the plan B for many artists. So it's absolutely very interesting that that was your plan A.
Yes, it was my plan A. The thing is, we discovered that we were, I think, in grade 10 and 11, we were doing dramatic arts and design. Fortunately, they also gave design in that school. So we realized that the more you teach someone how to do something, the better you know it.
True.
And then we were like, okay, let's find easier ways, easier techniques that we can teach, that once we teach, we know how to practice it, then we practice. So it's similar to a scientist. So a scientist would create all, conduct all this research, create an experiment, present it to an audience member. And then from that audience member, that interaction, they learn. So the teaching is also kind of a performance that is not being spoken about, but there's a lot in it as well that builds and equips your skill set.
That's such an interesting view. It's also a performance.
It is. And another thing that also made me want to particularly teach drama was because in the environment we am from, it's a radius of about 200 kilometers. There's no theater. There's just art centers that are, you know, that are worn out.
In your school?
Where I'm from at home.
Where your town, where you grew up.
Yeah, okay. So.
And you were in Yugi High School?
Yes, okay. In Yugi High School.
All right.
So there was no theater. So
very rural, small town.
Yes.
Okay.
I just was like, I want to teach drama here so that people are awake, you know. That's one of the reasons also why I decided to pursue it.
People, you want to go back?
I am actually already back.
You are?
Yeah, but just last year we launched an annual festival that happened this year as well. Not a theater per se, but an arts festival called the Mtonyama Arts Festival. That
you put together?
Mm-hmm.
How are the stress levels, Oliver? How did that go?
I'll tell you, it's a funny story. It was September, I had just been touring. Now I'm back, I'm in Bloemfontein, I have to find something for the next year. And then I go to the National Arts Council thing, you know, I do the application. As I'm doing the application, I'm like, what if I make a festival? I just fill in blanks on the application. The application is taken and approved. I'm like, whoa. So I have to deliver those blanks. It's a lot of stress. I would not advise anyone. But once you're done, it's nice, but still.
At least you didn't know that beforehand, but are you repeating this festival?
It repeated this year.
Oh, so March. You didn't learn.
Unfortunately. unfortunately. And the people, most people, they were like, do it again next year, do it again.
That's amazing.
I'm like, yo, I wish I have the capacity, but I have to do it because it's building career, building career.
So you basically, you came from there, you came to study, you learned a lot, and you almost straight away went back and plowed back into your community.
It's
a beautiful story.
And you know, speaking about entrepreneurship, I did not know that in theater arts there's also that aspect. And the minute I was in the side of the festival, I realized that, yo, it's important to be a business-minded person in this industry and in any other industry as well.
Yeah, but I think especially in arts, and I don't think people think about it like that at all. They just see the art part and want to be an actor or a dancer or an artist, but that's just a small part of what you have to do. You're quite right. You have to have the business brain.
Because the work that you're creating, it has to be seen by someone.
Sure.
You have to eat at the end of the day and it has to continue, you know. So it's I think it's one of the most demanding careers because you rehearse for about 8 hours a day for a week for a show that you're showing next week. Showcase, and then maybe next month you have to remember everything, you have to come through, and you're not just acting in that show only, you're also a voice artist, you're also a designer, you're also anything else that if I'm not doing this, I'm doing this, and so it just forces you to become that kind of person that does many things, but it's demanding.
Say, for example, someone wants to go into arts, would you advise them to, from the get-go, also enroll for a business subject or marketing or something like that?
In fact, there is a new field that, well, it's not new, but it's been introduced as a field now in our university and other universities, known as art management.
Art management?
Art management. So it basically gives the candidate equipments to produce, to sell, to report, to package, to archive, to brand themselves, to represent themselves on social media the way, to create websites for themselves, to, you know, so it's a third-year component that has
third
been added.
Year.
Yeah, so
right. So it's a subject that you can elect in your third year?
Yes, in your honors, but third year, it's compulsory.
That is wonderful news.
It's compulsory.
And
I must say it has helped a lot. Most, for example, we were on a tour in East London and in Grahamstown, being funded by the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. The people that were with us when we were doing were people from that subject, from art management. The production managers were from art management. Most works now that have been produced in this university has been influenced, rest assured, by that subject.
That's very interesting. Okay. I think that is very heartwarming and that makes a lot of sense and answers a lot of my questions that I had about how do you make a living if you go into the arts. Right, now I understand. I understand what a theatre practitioner is. I understand what you need to study. And now we come back to the issue that you raised a little bit earlier, is the sustainability of theatre and arts. You said South Africa, but my question is broader. I've recently learned that you can produce a full podcast. This is not one of those with AI. You produce videos, films.
Scripts.
Songs. So where do us humans still have a place in art?
You know, that is a debate as we're talking about it. But I discovered it's something that worked for me, or that works for me.
Okay.
So I discovered something known as interactivity. So interactivity. It's a component of telematic and computer, you know, computing sciences. They use it to make the user interact better with the computer. So it's just it's just that moment of interaction. So I discovered interactivity last year, and then I discovered immersive theater.
What is that?
So it's a theater production that aims to physically place the audience member in the fictional world.
Like a 3D movie.
Like a 3D movie, but now you are there.
Okay. You know. All right. That's interesting.
So I discovered it, and then I discovered that in USA they also do it, and also here in South Africa. But that's one of the things that I think global arts should sort of branch to, or something that I did when I realized that a person can watch Netflix and chill. I don't have to go watch a play. You know.
That's what's happening.
Basically. So now with creating works that are more interactive, more physically engaging, you give audience members not just content, not just entertainment, but experience and sensation. And especially after the COVID-19 isolation thing that happened, now people want experience.
They want experience. Right.
That's why you'd find that there's more people in a shooting range, in a sports stadium, because they want the feel, the experience. So now, then it's just for us as artists to just evolve and design experience, which I think we already do, but especially for theater. Nowadays, any theater production that's put in that conventional proscenium, it's tough to generate tickets, to generate, not unless you're a big name. So to be economic, let's go to unconventional spaces and let's create work that is more interactive, because there's a catch to it. I'm going to give you an example now. Imagine a show in a bus. We pick you up here at the main gate.
Yes. Okay. In a physical bus. So now we get on.
In the bus. There's a performance happening, a little bit of theater.
In the bus.
Okay. Then we stage an accident. You're in the bus. You know, we stage an accident, and then we let someone enter with the money being chased. We stage a cop chase.
What?
We give you the bag. We get you out of the bus. You are alone in the streets. We stage everything. Tell me you would not pay about 500 rands to experience that.
When is this?
No. No, it's an example that
I'm telling you, Oliver, I'm booking my ticket. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. It's the kind
of amazing, it's like a 3D, but without that hideous goggles, you can actually go. That's amazing.
Because we discovered that what makes people do anything is they're curious, they want the answer to the question. So let's give them more questions and more physical questions, because if you would pay that much for that experience, you cannot have that experience on a screen.
No,
AI can't generate that experience for you.
It can generate you can't smell, you can't feel.
That's the future, I think, for theater. I've done it, I think, twice. It's nerve-wracking. But once you get the feedback from the audience, you realize that people want more work like this.
I'm thinking like this is like a ghost tour on steroids.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm loving this. Now, you have changed my mind in so many ways. So, lastly, considering now a career in the arts, I've convinced my parents. My friends still think I'm a little bit weird. I've been accepted. I may even be in my second year already. What pitfalls or, you know, things that can go really wrong should I look out for?
Biggest is try as much as you can to keep your flame burning. So watch out that your flame does not... So the thing that makes artists, because they have this flame that would be referred to, but it's that cunning need to create, to make. And when you're in second year, you have been exposed to, introduction, and now you want to. But now what happens is all those ideas that you've been harboring from first year, from high school, from, primary, kindergarten, once you get to that level, you now find that encounter with authority, with the director, with instructions. So what artists should watch out is that those instructions don't kill their passion.
Oh, I think that's universal, eh?
Often.
It's maybe not just for artists, it's for everyone. It's so hard to keep that flame.
It's very important. Difficult. And how you do that, you create You create. And not just, I don't write a script. No, you can write a poem. You can write a song.
Just for yourself.
Listen to music. You can draw just for yourself. Just so that when we ask you, artist, what have you created last night? You have something to showcase.
Great. So I'm going to ask you some silly, quick questions. Don't think about it too much. Mm-hmm. We've done the thinking.
Oh, great.
Right? So it's just five quick choices or quick questions. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Remote or on-site?
Remote.
Every morning I?
Wake up.
My favorite word is?
Life.
Life. That is a good word. And I also love that you said I wake up. Because what else? That is the first thing that you have to do before you can do anything else. Thank you so much. Thank you also for the work that you do in your community, that you were so generous to return. You know, so many young people just want to get away and get out and create their own dreams. But it sounds to me like you more sold than other people's dreams as well. So thank you for that, and can't wait for the bus.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the invitation. It's a huge privilege, and I just would like to say to anyone who would like to be an artist, you already are an artist. Just be yourself and create. Basically, it's a discovery and a redefining of yourself.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.